Welcome to the ABM Conversations Podcast, the number one podcast for B2B marketers wanting to explore timeless account-based marketing strategies to drive revenue, customer engagement, retention, and everything that makes sense to both marketers and sales folks. No more fluff. No more vanity metrics. Live from India, made for the world.
Hello and welcome to yet another brand new episode of the ABM Conversations podcast. And this is me, your host, Yag. In today's episode, we are going to discuss how to achieve product market fit with a lean organization. And to discuss that, we have with us the amazing Aditya Kotadia, the CEO of Avoma, all the way from Palo Alto. Prior to Avoma, Aditya was the founder of Shopalyze, which was acquired by 24/7 AI in 2013. And Avoma right now being in the founder-led stage, Aditya wears multiple hats across product, sales, and marketing. In short, get ready for the nuggets of practical wisdom. And hey, guess what? You don't need to take notes. Just get on board with Avoma and you're pretty much all set. So without further ado, Aditya, welcome to the show and I'm so happy to have you here.
Thanks, Yags. This is super exciting. Thanks for inviting me. Really looking forward to having some great conversation.
Absolutely. Same here. Right. Let's get started. You know, you are a second-time founder and you run a very lean organization and yet you have more than about 150 brands using Avoma already. Mm-hmm. The reason I mention this is that I've been in the startup space for a long time and I can tell you that not many founders spend enough energy on achieving product market fit. And they tend to talk of scaling even before the egg is hatched, right? Mm-hmm. So you, on the other hand, have about 150 plus customers with literally no one on marketing and sales. And your customers bring more customers. Now that to me is a dipstick into PM fit. So as a founder, talk to us through the process of how you went about validating the Avoma platform or maybe even a feature for that matter in the initial stages.
Yeah. Product market fit is a very hot topic for every entrepreneur, founder, and in general, the startup community. So I know it gets a lot of rage about it. And it's a very, this whole mythical thing, like there's no clear definition what exactly it means. Everyone has a different definition of it. Some people have tried to quantify it, even though sometimes I don't believe that's also extremely accurate either. And it's also never a destination. You have to think about it as a journey. So there is never, even in whatever stage that we have, you can think about product market fit that we have for this stage. As we continue to grow, do more things and have bigger plans, we still always want to make sure that we still have that product market fit with the new use cases that we are launching, with the new product extension that we are launching, and adjacent products that we are launching.
Right.
It should be a part of your culture. No matter what, it's not, people think it's only at the beginning stage, but the way I think about it, it's an ongoing process. Obviously, you mentioned that what we do at Avoma, it records and transcribes calls. It definitely helped us to get to that point much faster as well, which is basically, when you think about it, Avoma is helping to capture all customer-facing conversations. It's helping you to easily analyze those and share with the team. And then through that process, you're trying to truly build a customer-centric product. You're able to listen to the voice of the customer. The information is not getting lost just in the sales conversation. Your product team and your revenue teams are getting a lot closer and are aligned to start building what customers truly want. And that is the holy grail of product market fit, building what truly your customer wants. When you think about even how Avoma has started now, obviously Avoma came in later in the game, but the first 6 months of Avoma's journey was a lot of customer discovery interviews, doing a lot of research. We had an hypothesis that what we wanted to do, and there is this concept of ideal customer profile. So yes, we wanted to build Avoma for some customer profile. And initially, when we thought about meeting assistant as a space, pretty much we thought every single knowledge professional would be an ideal customer profile. And we didn't want to go after students or teachers. We've said, okay, we will focus on knowledge professionals who are doing meetings every day-to-day life. But then when you think about that problem itself is still very broad and complex problem. You have to break it down. Then the next step was that not just ideal customer profile. Within that ideal customer profile, which is your initial customer profile? And so then we started understanding, we had a set of questions. Who faced this problem the most? Who depends on this information? who wants to bring this part of their day-to-day workflow. Try to understand 4 or 5 steps that happens after their current job, what they do with this information. And the more you start understanding that customer journey, you will start realizing which customer segment has the extreme need of something like this. And then you start only focusing on that customer persona. That's something what we did. That's when we realized that sales was the number one use case where people really cared about this problem. They wanted to pay more because obviously there were a lot of value in terms of that they were getting from solution like this. So that's kind of how we initially first year or so, we only focused on that persona. We had a vision over the period that it will expand. And now we start expanding it to other use cases also. But that definitely helped us to achieve this product market fit by being laser focused on some segment of customer and going end to end to understand their workflows and solving those workflows. We didn't care too much about what competitors are doing. We didn't care about what investors were telling us that what needs should be done, because a lot of those thoughts typically are then competitor driven and not the customer driven. So I would say that was the kind of fundamental thing that we tried to bring it as a culture. And as I mentioned, over the period, Avoma solution definitely just helped us to continue to get better in that as well.
Right. You know, a couple of things out of what you said stood out to me, in the sense like basically PM fit is something that's a moving goalpost. You know, it needs to continuously evolve. That's something that I really loved. And I love the laser focus part where you said that, you know, you found the set of people who wanted to, see the product as the must have and not just as a good to have. Right. So what I want to next move on to is, something you also spoke about, the product about Avoma itself, right? One of my biggest gripes as a marketer that I keep talking about is that there are very few marketers who take the initiative to go and talk to customers. And the sad part is that if a content marketer has never spoken to a customer, all they'll end up doing is create content based on what they think is the customer's pain point, which typically tends to stem from the product's feature, which gets translated into a pain point and again becomes a solution. But to me, when I look at Avoma, it seems to be a potential solution to that problem. You know, maybe tell us a little bit in detail about how Avoma democratizes the information across the company and how does it foster collaboration?
Absolutely. So when you think about Avoma, there are two various kinds of use cases happen. One is active use case that somebody wants to use this information for their continuous job that they're doing. And there are some passive cross-functional team members who also want to learn about this information that's happening in some other conversations. Today, when you think about Avoma, it's predominantly being used by customer-facing functions like sales, customer success. These are the people who typically get us in the door. And once they start recording sales conversations, customer success conversations, the value is not just for the sales reps or customer success managers themselves. It does help them as their individual AI assistant. But then there are two other people who also benefit from this information. The first is the leadership and the management themselves, the sales manager, frontline manager, or even a VP of sales or leadership. Today, customer conversations, if you look at it, are pretty much black box. So people don't really understand what the prospects are saying, what competitors are they mentioning, what feature requests they're having, what objections they're having. All that information, unless somebody is doing a very diligent job of note-taking and capturing all that information, the leadership and management will not know about it. Salespeople right. don't get paid for taking notes and doing data entry. They get paid for closing deals. So it's a not salesperson's interest to go and give this detailed feedback, what customers are saying, what prospects are saying with the rest of the organization. That's when a solution like Avoma could come in handy, helps managers and leadership to get those insights at an aggregate level. But then there is this third party, which is your marketing team or product team. These people today are building, the way you said, the messaging they're building in probably in vacuum, if not doing active research. Product people are building products in vacuum. And the whole genesis of how Avoma was started was based on that story. I was a product manager in the past. And I was also, as you mentioned, my previous company was acquired. So I was this startup guy. So CEO would always give me this new initiative that, hey, Aditya, this is something new, what we want to launch, new product, go and build it. And then I would do the product development requirements, selling that vision, and then 90-day MVP. Once you build the minimal viable product, then selling that or deploying that to our customers. And I would learn a lot through those conversations. And we had very extreme alignment at that time. And but once the initial products were built, I used to hand it over to our go-to-market team and then coach them, train them. And then I would stop learning as a product person. I would not know what's happening. And that's when I started realizing that we are trying to build products here in vacuum. And every time I used to go and look at the notes in Salesforce, our salespeople would only have simple notes like, customer said the product is expensive. And that's all. That's not how we are going to build the product. We wanted to learn how to learn the voice of the customer, what features resonated with them, what issues that are still not being addressed yet. And you also talked about the marketing messaging. A lot of the times you want to have identified the moments where in the demos, your marketing, your prospect goes, wow. Those are the moments that you want to highlight. Those are the differentiations that they have not seen somewhere else. And so when we started realizing that, that's when what Avoma does is that recording that you do as a salesperson or a customer success person, it's not just useful for you as an individual, but your rest of the organization is able to find that information easily. We have a lot of workflows in the product where you're able to just capture important snippets from the conversation and share in just 2 seconds. So instead of having that information getting lost in thin air today, now all of that information is easily accessible. And salespeople don't need to now invest a lot of time, even they take few additional seconds. And worst case, even if they don't proactively send that information to the rest of the organization, the other people can still have access to that data. They can come back, search for any phrase, and start looking for patterns across all the organization. So that's how what Avoma is trying to do is really bringing, as I mentioned earlier on, the bringing revenue teams, product teams, and your customers all in sync and aligned.
Right, right. Love that. And the other thing that you said about, you know, you being an acquired founder, I've often seen this part that when you're an acquired founder, what happens is the kind of pitch that you get or also, you know, the kind of description that you get is often one sentence or one line and you have to go and figure out everything. I'm sure you've experienced that.
That's pretty much it.
Right.
That is such a common thing because the whole goal is that there is uncertainty at the CEO level. You have a lot of these ideas and you want to share these ideas. It's not their job to go and find every single detail. So they give you initiative. They give you charter that, hey, this is what our goal is. Go figure out what needs to be done. And that's what typically again startup founders will do. They, from uncertainty with little thoughts that they have, they will go and figure it out. Not everything is laid out in front of them. So it's an exciting path. I used to enjoy that. A lot of other people used to have a lot of questions. But I used to like that approach. Obviously, it could have been a lot more efficient, but that's the part of the journey.
Yeah, absolutely. I also love that little bit of chaos, you know. Right. So going back and, you know, one thing that I wanted to explore further is that the space that Avoma operates is fairly niche. Mm-hmm. And yet there are also very strong players mm-hmm. That compete, mm-hmm. like, say, Gong or Acorus. Mm-hmm. And the interesting factor is that, you know, each of them have their own focus categories. Gong is all about revenue intelligence. Chorus leans more towards conversational intelligence. But Avoma, I think, keeps it simple by saying that, hey, you transform meetings and you improve collaboration. Mm-hmm. And to me, collaboration is one piece that's really eye-opening. And it's because very few people realize in flesh and blood as to how much the market has transitioned from being in the information age to the age of collaboration, where be it within the organization or across the ecosystem. Mm-hmm. So, tell us a little bit on what, in your observation, has been the biggest missing collaborative piece between sales and marketing, especially in B2B.
Mm-hmm. I think this is a great point about, goes back to the whole positioning. How do you think about the vision of the product, what you want to really build as a company, what you stand for as well. When we started thinking about this problem, one of the things, and it's still today, we have a huge belief that when you think about organizations, how they're going to get advantage or edge is not, products are getting commoditized today. So pretty much you can build a product, there are a lot of copycats come in, they copy your innovation as well. And brands is another thing, you can build a brand, but or even the go-to-market strategy, a lot of playbooks are also kind of available there that people are building it. So there is any go-to-market strategy, product-led, marketing-led, sales-led. You have playbooks, you can start following those. Yes, execution matters, but at least it's given that what needs to be done. And then I started thinking about this problem that, okay, how do we win? Then the idea was that, okay, the only way you to win is the agility of the organization. And that's where the advantage of startups come in. That, or even as you start scaling across, It's the mindset that, hey, all these different functions are siloed now. Even just a given sales role, you can think about now you have an SDR, BDR, account executive, and then there's customer success. So much silo and friction points are added for our customer's experience point of view. So the more functions that you add, the more system that you add, there's collaboration is hindering. It's dealing things. It's dealing your sales velocity. It's dealing your product collaboration and things that the feedback that your product team is giving to the sales team. All those combination of those things are getting delayed. So we believe that system of intelligence, all these guys are doing is great. Like you understand the analytics, activities, all that is great. But what you do with that insights, what do you do with that data? How can you make that actionable? And actionable stuff means that either you help individuals to help them get stuff done much faster, or the second thing, how they collaborate with other people and you help there. So when you think about there are individuals, how can we help individuals to automate their low value tasks that they do every single day and augment the high value tasks that they do? So that's our primary focus. So we focus on individuals who do the job. That's where in our case, we not only focus on leaders and managers, we actually focus on the salespeople, the customer success people. They are the heroes. We want to make them heroes. We want to get rid of all the low value tasks that they do and help them to augment their high value tasks. But that's just the one piece of the coin. Today, when you think about the selling or supporting a customer, it doesn't happen individually. You need an entire team, company to start helping you along with the information and anything that's new that the salesperson or customer success person doesn't know. They need to get help from their managers or product people or marketing people. And now if you add more friction, that's when the collaboration also starts getting hindering as well. So how do you remove the friction from the collaboration and help these individuals to achieve more in less? So that's kind of has been our concept where we start believing that what we need is not just system of intelligence. What we need is really a system of collaboration. All future products, when you think about it, if you look at Chorus and Gong, you talked about it. Today, they are still predominantly used by salespeople. And we get it. That's where the use case is the strongest today. That's what also we had done it. But there are so many times we see customers coming to us and asking that, hey, this is great, but now I want my product team and marketing team also want to record and transcribe their brainstorming sessions. Otherwise, that information is also getting lost. Now think about, you buy one solution for the sales team. Now you buy another transcription company for or solution for another team. Now you started having more systems, disparate system, and information is staying in different system itself. So the way Avoma is designed meant to be give the best of the breed for customers or use cases that need like sales or customer success, but at the same time, make it extremely extendable to other functions so that everyone in the system find value. Price the way we do it, pricing also, so that everyone pays for the value they get. So that's kind of how the philosophy has been.
Right, right. And I'm happy you brought this point that, you know, you don't want people to be using multiple systems because, you know, in some of the places that I've seen in the past, you'd be surprised that even big enterprise companies tend to use three or four different CRMs within the same company. You know, that's more chaos than you think about. Right. So, you know, there's one general observation that, you know, I've had with respect to second-time founders, you know, people who have had decent exits of their previous venture and who are building their next one. And when you are a second-time founder, there are two things that vividly stand out. One is you tend to be more humble. And second is you also tend to have super clear focus on what you really want. And some of my favorite examples, as you know, I've spoken to you time and again, are Rand Fishkin, David Bax of Handwritten, Andreas Johnson of Shield, and of course you without a doubt. And there is also this other thing, you know, second time founders also tend to say no to a lot of things. And I've seen this with David, I've seen this with Rand, and you know, also with you. And I see this as a feature and not as a bug. So take us through this process of what makes you say no to something, be it a product feature, be it a team hire, be it an investment pitch. Why do you say no a lot?
It's not easy. Let me be first of all, be honest with you. Here is another thing. Founders are optimistic in general. They're not pessimistic. So when you think about it, an optimistic person will always say yes to ideas and or always excited about new shiny thing. But it definitely, that's why I said it is difficult, but that's where you need that discipline of figuring out for what things that you're not going to say no to. And that also starts from what is your value operating system that you have in the company? What is your vision that you have? So it would be unfair to say that I say no to every single thing. And these are different use cases. When you talked about feature requests, how we think about feature, saying no to some feature requests is different than how we say no to a hire or investment pitch or somebody trying to pitch something, partnership opportunity with us. There are different lenses when you think about it, but let's say a simple example for feature request. Obviously, you have your vision that what you want to do. Not everything can be done right now. And what you're trying to do here is this customer or new feature request that's coming in, is this in line with your vision or not? Is this, again, you go through the series of questions, is this only being used by this one particular customer? Or if we allow this, are there enough other customers who will benefit from this as well? And we had a, funny enough, you asked me this question. We had an investor, or we have an investor in Avoma who have been requesting one functionality since day one that he wanted to do in Avoma. But he was never an ideal customer for us. So for the last 1.5 years, I've been saying no to him, and the functionality is still not available in Avoma because there are other services that allow that. He was just using Avoma in a different capacity, but he was not our ideal customer. And so I have to, every one of our board meetings that he would bring up, when are you going to launch that functionality? And I would humbly say, unfortunately, not yet. It's probably very late in the roadmap, but we'll see what we can do. But that's kind of a way, like, we didn't, just because investors are there, they tell you to do something, you don't want to go and do that. This goes back to my earlier point, being that customer centric, knowing that who's your ideal customer profile, who's your initial customer profile, you start prioritizing based on that. And that's kind of how I say no to a lot of these things. And then there are, you also talked about, let's even hiring. One of the mistakes I have done, and I've done many mistakes again, in hiring is not hiring somebody for the right fit for the company or the stage of the company. And you can say no to skill sets and all the other things, but I've started optimizing more for the fit because individuals, it's not that the individuals are not good. The question happens is that, are they good at that particular stage of the company? So some people can be star performers at a later stage company, but they might struggle at a really early stage company like ours when there are only 10, 15 people. And so I did not initially think about this, but over the period, I've started optimizing for these things. And that's how now it helps me to filter out a lot of candidates who do not fit into that criteria. And that's how, again, you start developing these operating principles based on different use cases, and you start saying no to most of these things as well.
Right. But it's good, right? It always is nice to have clarity as to what is your direction and where you're going. And another interesting thing to talk about is, let's say in the early days of a company like Terminus, mm-hmm. you know, Sangram often used to say that he found it really difficult in that period to position themselves in the ABM category because the analysts were often trying to box them under programmatic ad platforms. Mm-hmm. And similarly, I'm sure you have come through quite a journey over the last 3 years. For example, Avoma does call transcriptions and automated note taking quite well, but you've been quite vocal certain times in saying loud and clear that Avoma is not a transcription tool. Mm. So how would you like to position Avoma?
This is a battle that I'm also having every single day. And I'll tell you what happens here. It's not easy. You're absolutely right. So what we had seen was that there are these companies, as you already mentioned, Chorus and Gong, at the extreme end where they do a lot of intelligence for only one vertical use case like sales. And then there is, on the other extreme, there is this completely generic transcription providers where a student can go and transcribe their meeting or journalist can go and transcribe their recording and they get the value. We were somewhere in between where we felt we do the transcription, but we are not going to do transcription for everyone. We are going to be laser focused on meetings related workflows. And so for us, when we think about Avoma, it's actually the end-to-end AI meeting assistant. What it means is that there are a lot of things that you do before the meeting, during the meeting, and after the meeting. And transcription is just one piece of that journey where you are trying to optimize or get the recording and get the transcription for the note-taking. But even before the meeting, there are a lot of workflows related to scheduling, people not showing to your meetings, following up with them, trying to reschedule those conversations. During the meeting, it's about asking the right questions, answering customers' questions properly, effectively. And then after the meeting, yes, the note-taking, data entry into CRM, and then following up with the prospect with the notes that you extracted, scheduling the follow-up meetings that if you have already scheduled that meeting. So when you think about the number of tasks an individual does, just that for one meeting, and they have to switch between 4 or 5 different tools. So what we started thinking was that Avoma is all in one end-to-end that AI meeting assistant rather than thinking just the transcription, because we do address those workflows. That is more important to us, that how can we address your end-to-end meeting related workflows rather than saying transcription company. It's just a means to address one of the problems, but it may not be the only thing that we stand for. Analytics also, when you think about Chorus and Gong, yes, again, we do give you analytics, similar analytics, because we understand you don't want to have another tool to buy. And if you're able to achieve both those things across different functions in one platform, why would you have this additional data silo for the note-taking different tool, for analytics another tool? That's how kind of the positioning for us is about staying in the middle. And this is where I tell you, we had a lot of people telling us that either do that, be Chorus and Gong for that market, or be the transcription company for that market. And we didn't listen to that. This is one thing that other people might continue to agree with it, where I kept disagreeing with for a longer period of time, believing that neither of these things or solutions in the market are truly solving the problem for customers and what's happening and how the remote world will continue to evolve as well. And we always believe that the solution needs to be built in such a way that is applicable for the entire organization without compromising the best of the breed functionality that some individuals need. We should also provide them that. It was difficult to do it all, still kept believing in what the customer really care about rather than trying to say what the analyst wants or what the competitors are doing or what investors want you to position yourself. It's still a work in progress. We are constantly working towards it, how to position it better. But we truly believe in positioning for the customer's journey is probably the most important thing than trying to listen to these other things.
Right, right. Now I'm going to switch a little bit and, play the role of the actual, one of your colleagues in the company.
Sure.
And I'm going to say a couple of things that I've observed in the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. Okay. So there are a couple of things in the recent few weeks that I really appreciated and that acquired me a whole new level of respect for you. First, there was a vendor who was demoing their product to you and he mentioned their pricing and you instantly said, hey, this won't work for us in the current timeline. And I love that honest and transparent response because you were either clearly in or clearly out. He doesn't have to follow up again. And second, there was the other situation where you were doing the demo of Avoma to somebody mm-hmm. and they asked you for a set of features which wasn't in the direction that you wanted Avoma as a product to take. And you said, hey, given your use case, I think it's better for you to go with a product like Gong. Mm-hmm. That's the best option for you. Mm-hmm. Now, I was hearing that conversation on Avoma while I was jogging. And that really made me get goosebumps and I really stopped. And it showed me the level of transparency and mutual respect with which you operate. I love that. But getting back to what I really wanted to ask you through this is that I've heard you often talk about, hey, the vision that we are working towards still remains unsolved for. So what is that vision that, Avoma is headed towards?
First of all, thanks for observing those two different nuances in different situations. I agree.
Right.
It is, the way you want to treat other people, how you would like to be treated as well. A lot of the times when I think about it, I would love transparency from our prospects, our customers. And then when I think about sales, I'm not a born salesperson for that matter, or I've never did sales as my profession. I was a product person. But when you think about the goal is to solve problems, identify problems as a product person, as to understand what are the gaps are there. And then you try to assemble the team and work with them to get the problem solved. When I moved into sales, that is how I applied that mindset. What you're really trying to do is to help somebody, not trying to aggressively sell what you have, but be that they're counseling to really understand what it is. And sometimes our solution may not be the best for them. And we can help them to get what they need. lot of the times karma will play and they might recommend somebody else to us. Who knows? But that's how I've always treated all our prospect, our customers as well. I'm very transparent what we have, what we don't have, where we lag. And we try to educate our philosophy. Some customers will agree with it. They believe in it. They immediately jump and buy a Voma. Some customers don't. Our job is to continue to convince more of those to continue to convert them more. Now, to your second question, what's our vision? As I've already shared, right? So yeah, the way I still think about Voma is helping individuals to really automate the low value tasks that they do and augment the high value tasks that they do. Whatever the high value tasks, it's not, the AI is not about automating or replacing someone's jobs. It's really taking care of the low value things that you should not be doing and helping you to focus on the high value things that you should be focusing more on. So we want to help individuals to really get more effective and efficient in what they do. But as I also mentioned, that that's not how individuals, the companies will not succeed just by making individuals successful. It will be successful when you make a team of a group of people extremely successful. And to do that, we need to have this system of collaboration, which is basically allows every single other individuals to go and collaborate instantly faster. So when you think about the meeting itself, it's just a one type of conversation. Over the period, Avoma might expand to other conversations as well. But right now, even the meeting opportunity itself is so humongous in front of us. When you think about today, how people are running their meetings is very broken, very inefficient. A lot of the times things are, again, there are internal meetings, external meetings, and you run between these different situations where agenda is not prepared properly. A lot of the context is shared in emails. It could help me to automate, understand what we had already discussed in back and forth email thread and prepare the agenda for my meeting. Then the note-taking is one use case. We are already doing it. And to your surprise, or maybe not, we are still one of the best in the industry to automate the notes the way we extract. But the job is not done. It's barely anything. I mean, there's so many issues that we still have our notes where we still believe that the human, the way how they write notes is still something that we need to continue to improve upon. And so there's a lot of opportunity just in improving the note-taking itself. But more importantly, the follow-ups as well. One of the things we think about, what we Avoma is behind the scene is trying to do, you have all these unstructured conversations, email, meetings, calls. What Avoma is truly trying to do is it's analyzing all these unstructured conversations and trying to create into a structured data that goes into your CRM. If Avoma identifies, hey, this is a bug that customer talked about, it will go and get filed into your bug tracking system. If Avoma identifies this is a task, the next step that you need to do, it will go and create that task in your task management system. If it identifies that this is a follow-up meeting that you promised to a customer that you want to send a follow-up invite, Avoma already knows who you met with it, who were the people in the invite, what time you talked about to schedule next. It tells you that to go and do the scheduling, and now it can go and actually even send the invite on behalf of you. That's kind of the holistic end-to-end vision that we have to make individuals really happy and more efficient in what they do, but then also help the other team members that they along they work with also extremely efficient in the platform itself.
Right, right. That's really amazing, you know, the amount of information that you have. And I think it's one of those rare times where I've seen a founder selling their product less and talking more about, you know, the reality of what they're trying to solve for and how many things they're yet to uncover and all of that. So I really like this conversation. Now we are moving, since we are about hitting close to the 35-minute mark, let's move to the next section, which we call, or which we position more like a game show.
Okay.
It's called the rapid fire section. So here, the idea of the rapid fire is to ask you five pointed questions, and I'll try my best to put you on the spot, or you know, take an opinion, or take a stand, or something like that. And let's see how it goes. So are you ready?
Shoot on, I mean, bring it on.
All right. So here's question number one. Being a second-time founder, what is that one major awareness or knowledge that you carried into founding Avoma?
I think it was having a longer North Star vision and not giving up. There is no, things will, I never believed in try multiple things, but really focus on one problem, do deeper research. And I knew that we will get obstacles. It will not be an easy journey, but focus on your North Star and continue to fight for it. Things work out eventually if you're laser focused on solving the right problems.
Right, right. Makes sense. And here's question number two. Knowing what you know now, given your experience, what is the first thing that comes to your mind when somebody talks to you about scaling?
I think this is an interesting. I've done many mistakes here as well. But I would definitely say for me, scaling, if I know now, it's something I should have prioritized consistently. That is number one thing. I've not done it in terms of scaling the company, scaling the growth, marketing, sales-wise. And we have not put in enough effort into these things the way I should have. And I should have planned a little bit ahead of time. But that's kind of the number one thing that comes to mind if somebody talks about it. I would say that, hey, we should have done it sooner and we should have done it consistently no matter what.
I'm actually surprised by this answer. I was actually expecting you to talk something in the lines of, hey, you know what, in the initial stages, it's important to do the non-scalable things first. But yeah, this makes sense too. You know, you're probably playing the long-term game, I guess.
It's what happens is that, look, we have done, to your point, right? So we have done some of these things. They work. And to your point, yes, do non-things that are not scaling and all of that. But at the same time, if you know that this is where it comes down, if you're trying to test it out, then that mindset comes in that, hey, try it out and do things that don't scale. But when you know this is already working, when you already have a lot of solid research, you know that this is working. It's just a matter of time to address some of the use cases. It takes time. These are complex problems that we are trying to solve. So I should have been prepared to build the go-to-market team earlier enough than what I've done so far right now. That's kind of how I see from my personal journey. I don't have a lot of regrets in how we have built Avoma. There were definitely a couple of, but this not doing it sooner and not working on it consistently is definitely one of the regrets. And that's why it was on top of my mind.
Right, right. One of the things that I appreciated on the non-scalable part was, you know, in the initial days of Avoma, you didn't even think of automating the transcription part. You even reached out to the customers and said that, hey, you know what, I'm happy to do it manually. Who do you want to try that? So that was like, wow, you know, he's trying all sorts of things. This is amazing.
Yeah, that was like three and a half years ago. We had that when we were really trying to prove the concept. That's what we did.
Right, right. So moving on to question number three. Mm-hmm. This question comes from one of our listeners. His name is Karthik. Mm-hmm. And it goes like, how automated note-taking and collaboration is seen by companies in the context of privacy?
Great question. We think about this a lot. One of the things that Avoma is being designed, and probably I would say the only solution which is designed to handle this use case in a unique way, is that all external conversations that you have with customers, these are business conversations. The companies will value from having insights into these conversations. So these conversations are made available for your other team members to also go and listen to as well by default. You can always change the privacy of these things. So you can make any your customer facing call private as well. But by default, any internal meeting that you have will always be private to the participants of that call. We do not make that conversation available to other people in the company to go and have access. Obviously, these are confidential conversations. You never know. And that's kind of how we've made sure that how we can make sure from a privacy point of view, the solution is designed so that it scales both for external use cases as well as the internal private. So I do all my one-on-ones, pretty much all our brainstorming sessions, because there's a lot of feedback that I share during these sessions. And it gets harder for somebody else to capture all that input, all that feedback in that session. So it becomes a lot efficient for them to go back and make sure that there is always this record that they can go back, search, and play back and listen to the part that they missed or misunderstood. And that's why kind of we make sure that there is a privacy is designed in the way how things are done. And you completely always have full control over what information you share with other people.
Right, right. All right, so here's question number four. As you know, I have a lot of friends in the startup space, and one thing that I keep hearing is that competition is trying to masquerade as a prospect and going through my sales process. So have you faced something like that at Avoma?
More than that, what we have seen is that not really as much, but what we have seen is like competitors are, you know, they try a lot of different tricks to learn how Avoma is building solutions. So every alternate week, we have new competitors signing up to Avoma. I had a really terrible experience a few weeks ago where one of the competitors was part of another accelerator, a very well-known accelerator. And they used that email address to sign up to Avoma and took the full demo. And I was fool enough to believe that this is the same person who truly is from that accelerator company. And throughout the full 30-40 minute conversation, he kept lying and kept learning about how Avoma is different. And then as soon as the meeting was done, I realized something. And then I searched for a little bit more and I found out this guy was actually a competitor. So people go to very extreme stages to really learn what Avoma is doing. But and it pissed me off. It actually, my tranquility was lost at that minute. But then, I got over it and I said, it's okay. Let's just focus on customers and continue to execute. So I don't pay too much attention to competitors. We know what they do. A lot of the times we are also evolving. We are getting inspiration from some of the other vendors as well. But I've never personally have done and logged into any one of our, signed up into any one of our competitors to see how they have done certain things. A lot of the times customers tell us that, hey, we need something this that we have seen that other competitor does. And if that ask becomes quite often common, then we will go and prioritize that as well. I don't want to believe that we are the only smart ones out there. Obviously, our competitors are also really smart ones. They are innovating in certain areas. We are innovating in certain areas. But this gimmicking your other vendors in the ecosystem is something I felt going too low and you don't have any value system. So anyways, such companies will never succeed in the long run if you don't have a strong foundation of value system. So I was not bothered too much about giving a lot of attention to these competitors.
Right. So yeah, this is in contrast to the other situation where you recommended to a customer to take up exactly a competitor's product. Right. So here's my final rapid fire question. Okay. So what is that one myth about product-led model that you would like to break today?
That you don't need marketing and sales. I don't believe that. Product-led is good. I 100% believe that. We are working, we are building a product-led company as well. So individuals can come in and sign up. We have a lot of virality in the product. So our customers end up recommending Avoma to other customers as well. But that doesn't mean that you don't need sales and customer success or marketing function. And here is why. A lot of the times what happens is when people come in, as you rightly said early on, they'll say, oh, I need transcription and that's what I'm here for. But they have not thought about this use case from many different angles that what Avoma could actually do for them. And it's more about workflows. We'd rather not talk about the features, but we understand, okay, what do you need this transcription for? How do you use this information? What do you do after that? And who do you share with this? And then once you understand those use cases, their workflows, then you explain them, hey, you can actually do these other things here. Instead of thinking about getting the transcript, downloading the transcript, doing these other things in four different systems, maybe you can optimize these workflows here. Once they realize that, they completely get sold on. We have customers who were using some other transcription companies' products early on. And when they learned about Avoma, they pay us 4x more because the value that we give them is a lot higher. But that would not have been possible if we were purely product-led and there was nobody from a sales or customer success person explaining the value and telling them how this solution can actually optimize your other workflows as well. So for me, that's something I don't believe that product-led is the only one. I like to call it as a product-led and sales-assisted. So that's kind of the model I like to do, actually.
Right. I totally agree with this, but probably we lost, I guess we lost Westbush as a possible customer. Right. So we are getting towards the end of our show today. And before I let you go, if there is a parting message that you would like to share with our customers, what would that be?
Everyone is trying to do something. Marketing folks are trying to find their next marketing hack or marketing tactic to grow either their company or their some side gig that they might have. And same on the sales side as well. And I do believe that today, the more and more you think about these things, constantly I always do this, even in our Avoma as well, is information sharing. The more transparent I'm with everyone else in the company, it helps me to achieve my goals much faster. And one of the things, again, it might feel like we are being trying to salesy here, but solutions like Avoma, a lot of the times, they might not come across immediately as, hey, do I need this? And people are very dismissive about that. Okay, I can do this myself. Why do I need this? But the larger potential of something like this, doing your job much faster, much better, And that might give you time to do things, other things that you want in your life. It's something people still don't optimize for. And people are very dismissive about these things, new ideas, new possibilities are there. And I would say that, so to going back, what I really want to have people to take out of this conversation would be having that your strong growth mindset, trying to learn constantly. And you learn not just from doing what you're doing, but also from others as well. And so how others are doing things, having something like these conversations captured, analyzed, you're able to learn how others are doing. And there's a lot more benefit just learning from other people as well. So that's kind of the parting advice I would probably say would be that having that growth mindset and be that learning machine, and the learning opportunities are across everywhere. Tools, peers, or the knowledge that you're getting from social media and other things as well. But that's kind of how would I say it.
Right, right. I love that message. And in fact, Guy Kawasaki also in one of our episodes said something very close to what he just said. So I'm really loving this. And for our listeners, if they want to get in touch with you, given that you've shared so much, I'm sure a lot of people are going to go out and check out Auma anyway. But if they want to get in touch with you and ask you a few questions, be it related to a startup or founding or even marketing, what is the best place to connect with you? And how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, so first of all, the website for Avoma is avoma.com, AVOMA.com, and it stands for a very organized meeting assistant. And my email address is aditya@avoma.com, aditya@avoma.com. Happy to talk to people about, I love to geek out anything to do with modern SaaS, modern marketing, modern revenue, operations, anything to do with that. Would love to chat with other people. And always available on LinkedIn. I do share how I'm building Avoma, failures, success, things, tips, advice. So feel free to connect on LinkedIn as well. Again, it's Aditya Kothadia there on LinkedIn as well.
Right. So thank you so much, Aditya, for being on the show and sharing these golden nuggets of information. And for our listeners, that's that from our episode this time. And until we connect with you the next time with another guest and another interesting topic, it's bye from me, Yag. Have a good day and take care.
Thanks for listening to the ABM Conversations Podcast. Make sure you subscribe and share your comments with us. We're constantly looking for your feedback, thoughts, and suggestions to make the show more relevant to you.